plays while you're waiting for the show to begin.
Moment I've been waiting on. And my soul is overflowing with anxieties and expectations. Full of desire.
Oh,
I just want it so bad.
Oh,
you know? And it just seems so real. It's right there. Just want to reach out and touch it before it all disappears.
Sometimes it feels like everything is passing me by. Every now and then it feels like my ship has gone and sailed away. But I gotta be strong. Gotta hold on. It won't be too long. Now the tide is coming in. I see the waves flowing out there on the ocean. I know my ship is coming in. Horizon, and right where the sky ends, out there on the ocean, know my ship is coming in, so don't leave me hanging. I've been waiting too long for this moment. My ship has finally come. I will travel to the seven seas. It's like fighting with gravity, and it's bringing me down. If this world is really round, then tell me how. It's just a long for you to come around.
Afraid if I hit the play button that it would play again, but there was no stop button there. So that's kind of eerie, but I don't know what happened. So nonetheless, so I figured, well, maybe somebody needs to hear that song all the way through. That's all I can say about it. I don't know. How's it going,
Rob? Everything is good, Tammy. We are doing well here, me, Tamari, and Nadia. It's always a joy when she gets to be home because she doesn't get to be home often, but it's always nice to have her here. Tamari and I both have been working a lot lately and been working late also. But everything is good. Everything is progressing and moving in the right direction. We were supposed to welcome back our kindergartners and our Head Start students today at school, but the school board, between the school board and the superintendent, I don't really know who made the decision, but it was decided to delay the opening. So right now we don't know when they're coming back, but we still have some other students in the building. So it is nice to see their faces. It is nice to, you know, see the teachers and the students interacting with one another. So hopefully one day we'll be able to get back to some normalcy. But in the meantime, we will just continue to, as the Bible says, count it all joy. How are you doing?
I am good, I think. You know, just I had grandbaby today, so that's always just a really, really highlight. A highlight in my day, probably the best part of my day when I'm able to just have her. So I had her, and we got out and walked around the lake a couple of times, and then she wasn't ready to come in, so we walked up the street, and it was just, again, like this brightened my day to be in her space, because it kind of just lightens the load and it just simplifies life. So I'm just taken. I really am by just the journey, just being able to see it, how they grow, right? So I know you guys are, because I Nadia is far beyond her years. Like, she is just an old soul to me. She is so fun.
Yeah, that is true.
She really is. She's an old soul. It's like she's not two. It's like she is not. There's no way she's two. But and so that being said, it's just a joy to see them soak so much of life in and just be so free. I guess that's part of the. That's probably what the. I don't know. It's just free is the word. Maybe that's it. Because they seem just so free of this world and all that's going around. They are just. You know, just seeing Zali play with the leaves and be fascinated mm-hmm. just by being able to throw them up and the water. And I just said it, look, she played in the dirt and just was happy as can be. Last week she was playing with, like, the, you know, the little honey packs that you get or ketchup packs from the when you go out to eat or whatever. She was literally playing with the packs of honey and ketchup. And I'm talking about, like, was enjoying it while you got toys sitting over in the corner. So it's just kind of amazing. And I wish I find myself thinking, like, what keeps you playing with ketchup and honey packs? But I think it's the fact that they don't know it's ketchup and honey. To us, you know, we'll toss some of them away. We get extra and we toss them in the trash. When really that is food. So
yeah.
But to them, whatever this is fascinating. And maybe it's because they don't know what it is and they've not put a meaning or value to it or devalue. You know, if that's a word to say. So that was. My day, certainly feeling the effects of it now. It's just been a long day, so I had some sessions today with the life languages, and you know, I think that kind of weighs on you just talking about and hearing, you know, what people go through. And so, of course, again, Zali kind of just puts it all in perspective and makes the day new again, in a sense. So we're doing great. Other than that, the weather was beautiful. I'm looking forward to having a brief conversation tonight, because I'll tell you, right at about 7:46, I thought, you know what, I should have showered. People probably saying TMI, but I thought then I can go right to bed afterwards. So I ran. So I put down for tonight, Rodney, random conversation. I do have one thing I want to bring up for that random conversation. You may have something different, and this was from a post that I put on earlier in the week. So I'll get to that in a minute. For you guys who are listening, we hope that you join us with comments or questions tonight. If you do have questions or comments, if you're listening by way of chat, which I need to open, you can submit your comments or questions there. If you're listening through social media or any other, any form of social media, I think you would have to probably just call in tonight, or we'll monitor our Facebook account just as much as we can. But we don't plan to be on, certainly not 2 hours tonight, certainly probably not past an hour, for sure, I'll say that. So if you have a question or comment, you know, call in 563-999-3542, or you could post it on the page on either of our Facebook pages. You can share anything there as well, and in the chat room. Trash Can Baby, if you have not heard about Trash Can Baby, if you have and you've not tried it, please, please, please take the time to do this. We're in the midst of, Rodney, I guess I'll call it, and I don't know if it's so much about 2020, but I'm just seeing something different in people. Like, not just some people, but most of the people. And it's kind of a sick selfishness, being self-absorbed attitude. And I'm trying to find the right words just to be able to express it a bit more. I feel like I've been seeing that a lot lately, even down to the show that I sent you, right? Mm-hmm. Did you get a chance to listen?
Yeah, well, I didn't listen to the entire thing, but I did listen to a lot of it. Tamaria, the last couple of days, Tamaria's just let it play. You know, while we were here together, and we had I know at least one thought as we listened to it, and probably some more, but we did have one interesting thought as we listened to it that we talked a little bit about yesterday.
Interesting. So I want to talk a little bit just about that little piece, that little segment part of the show. But I just think that we're in a time where self-reflection and change, growth, accountability for who we are, and understanding that, like, and why do we respond? What's the root of it all, I guess? What's the root of are the things that we're offended by, the things that make us feel some kind of way, and how we see people, and how we see ourselves differently from the way that we see people, how we justify who we are, what we want, what we're doing, but put the same thing on someone else and you don't like it. Or you judge it. And so I'm just seeing just so, and I think, Rodney, it comes from a place of feeling or not really loving and understanding your worth, someone, you know, the worth, and needing it from others and from this world, and needing it so badly until we're offended by so much. And I'm finding it, and what's really disturbing is that I see so much of it in people that are older than I am, and I'm sure some of the younger people say they see it in me as well, and I don't say that to say that it should not be there, because I feel like we're always going to be, we should always be growing and learning and elevating spiritually, emotionally, physically, that we should be trying to do always problem comes or my issue comes for those people who think that there is no change, that they did all that they need to grow and that they are there. Because my opinion, and I may be judging in some sense, I feel like the more, just when I think I have it, I realize I don't know shit. Like, I realize, like, there's so much more to growing and transforming, and feel like you take off one shirt and there's another. And, like, how many times do we have to do this, God? Like, didn't we already do this? Didn't we go here? Wasn't this person, didn't I jump over this person last time? Did I conquer this hurdle? So I want to talk a little bit about that and brokenness. But back to the trash can, baby, you guys, move your trash can if you have not. And if you have, do it again. And when you do it, so move it from wherever it is now and pick one that you visit frequently. Move that trash can from its old location to a new location. And then monitor how often you go back to the old location where you moved the trash can from. Monitor, make a log, count, play a game with your family. In doing this, I hope that, or we hope that you will think about, what else am I doing in life because I just know it. I just know it. I think we're so afraid of change sometimes until we'd rather die where we are than see ourselves in a different place mentally, physically, emotionally. And I'm saying we because there's areas in my life where I'm still growing, and there's areas in my life where I thought I had grown up, and I realized, wow, I left a weed there, or I didn't get all the roots or something, and a weed has come back, something. And again, I think that a good thing, as long as we realize and we recognize and we give ourselves the space to grow, but also give others space to grow, if they're willing, because I think in everything that we should bring some balance to life. And certainly the people that we spend our time with, where are they? And it doesn't mean we can't be around people who are not growing with us, but we have to be mindful. It's no different if I'm trying to get off drugs, then I don't want to be around people who are, that's their lifestyle. If I'm trying to lose weight, I can't go with you always to eat. We have to be selective about where we go, and it's all about knowing where you are, where you want to go, and having a plan to do that. And that's one thing. I'll turn it over to you, Rodney. I feel like I need to work better on planning, having a plan for my day. Doesn't mean I will be successful all the way through, but my newest thing is I see where I have to have a plan and be intentional about not letting things that are not emergencies to interrupt that, to not be someone's 911 call. I feel like I'm getting back into that rut where I am the 911. So that's, I want to talk about that previous show, and we'll tell them a little bit about that, and then brokenness, which is from something that I posted on my page a few days ago. So over to you, Rodney.
Tammy, you had mentioned you were trying to find the word, to summarize or to explain, what you just talked about. And one of, well, the word that comes to mind for me, this has been a theme for the past few years, and it seems like it has just like built up or added on continuously, and it just continues to be an ongoing thing. And it's like every day it shows up even greater. And that's entitlement. Like if I had to take one word to sum up the last couple of years, and it has really since the beginning of, let's just go with March when everything began to, I'm going to say slow down. A lot of things shut down, but not completely. But when everything just kind of like, it was like life was going 100 miles an hour, and then it was like somebody hit the brake. And if you're going 100 miles an hour and you hit the brake, you're not going to instantly be at zero, right? But that was pretty much what life did. And then when life got around 25 miles per hour, then it was like, okay, now we could take our foot off the brake and just kind of like, then we just kind of stayed on this same level. And the problem was we didn't know how to go from that speed to slowing down. And then we're so used to going 100 miles an hour. We were so comfortable going at 100 miles an hour because there was nothing in our way. There was just open road, open highway, foot to the pedal and pedal to the floor. We were just gone. There was nothing in front of us, but we couldn't see the car that eventually was going to make us slow down. And so when we got to the car, when we got close enough that we could see, it was, oh, shoot, got to slow down. And then we got mad because the car was in our way. That is how things have been the last, what are we now, November, the last 8 months. And people are having a hard time adjusting because they don't want anything in front of them. They don't want any hindrances. They don't want anything blocking them from just going 100 miles an hour, even if they're going nowhere. They want to be able to go nowhere at 100 miles an hour. If they think they're going somewhere, they could be going the wrong way. But even if they're going the wrong way, they want to go the wrong way at 100 miles an hour. And so because we cannot do that, now we're seeing people's true colors come out, but if you pay attention, it's been there all along. People have shown how entitled they are. And, you know, we spoil children, and then we get mad or we talk about them for being spoiled. Like, I think back to what you said in the very beginning about Zali and how it was just amazing. She's playing with ketchup and honey packets, and that was fulfillment for her. So, to me, when we do all of these things for children, are we doing them for the children or are we doing them for us? When we do things for other people, who are we doing them for? And I'll go back to the example that you gave a long time ago, Tammy, about the ice. Now, society says if you want to put a smile on a woman's face or make a woman happy, you know, send her flowers. But what if that woman doesn't really care for flowers? Who did you do that for? Because that woman is like, well, thank you, like, because, you know, because she's grateful, you know. But you didn't do that for her. You did that for you. Because guess who's going to get the glory? You are. Because if you send them to work, her coworkers are going to see it. Oh, my God, he's so sweet. You got, girl, you got a good man, right? Your mom, your aunts, your grandma, your best friend. Oh, my God. And now with social media, oh, my God, this guy is getting so much praise and so much attention. And here you are like, I don't even like the doggone flowers. What did I want? I would have been happy with a tall cup of ice. And people would have been like, what the heck? Nobody would have been singing his praises. Right,
yeah.
But nobody would have been singing his praises for giving you a cup of ice, unless they really know you. And they're like, oh, shoot, like, you could tell me that's your man right there, because that man knew what would put a smile on your face. That man knew to bring you a bucket of ice. But that's how we are. We go and we spend. We're in the spending season right now with Christmas. We're in the spending season, right? People are going to be, it doesn't matter that it's a virus out here. People are still going to be buying up a storm. But who's to say that these kids need these things? Nadia is the same way. Nadia has toys galore. She'll go over and grab Tamaria's headphones or the mouse to her computer. That's what she wants to play with. The other day, Nadia and I were in her room, and she was trying to climb in the laundry basket. But how do we go from that to this sense of entitlement? People take us there. They start buying us all of these things. Or they say yes all of the time or most of the time. And we start thinking, well, at a young age, we start thinking every year on Christmas, the living room is supposed to be packed with toys for me. Every year on my birthday, I'm supposed to get, you know, something expensive. For school, I'm supposed to get a pair of Jordans. I have a cousin who told his mom one time, and this cousin, he's got to be close to 60 now, probably over 60, but he told his mom one time, she asked him, why did you start selling drugs? And he said, because one Christmas, I didn't get everything I wanted. So to make sure that I always got what I wanted, I started selling drugs. But this is reality, and it's easy for us to.
Can you say that again? Can you repeat that?
So I have a cousin, huh?
I said, please say that again for me.
So I have a cousin who has got to be 60 now, somewhere around 60, but was a drug dealer for a very long time, and. You know, when he was an adult, his mom asked him one time, she said, why did you start selling drugs? And he said, because there was one Christmas that he did not get what he wanted. So to make sure he got what he wanted, he started selling drugs. And it's easy for us to look at drug dealers and say, man, they know they're wrong. Like, we need to clean up our community while they're out here selling drugs. It's more than just this man out here on the corner selling drugs. There's most likely a story to go along with it. Now, who's at fault? He is. However, who contributed to this? The people who, when he was younger, oh, every year you should have X, Y, and Z on Christmas. But we do this, and then we say, oh, I tried to give them the best. I tried to give them what they needed, what they wanted. But what do they need? I bought a jacket, Tammy, and I don't want to take too much time because I want to turn it back over to you. But I bought a jacket a couple of weeks ago, Tammy. And I don't know, do y'all have Costco there?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I went in Costco a couple of weeks ago, and I bought a jacket. $10. Jacket was $10. Very nice jacket. When I got up to the register, even the cashier said, when he scanned it, he said, $10. You know, he was like, this is a real nice jacket for $10. And I'm like, dang, like, he works here. He don't even know. But, you know, I was telling Tamaria early, like, name brands don't mean anything to me. So if name brands mean something to you, how did you get that way? And we all have, don't get me wrong, if you listen, don't think that I don't have my things that I've spent money on that I should not have, and I should have made a better decision. Like, I can't show them to you because I don't have them anymore, but, like, if you've known me from 25 until now, like, I could have shown you, like, some very expensive bar tabs, right? So we all have it, but the key is figuring out, where did that come from? Is it necessary? And if is it helping you? If not, why are you doing it? We all have our things, and it doesn't mean that you need to change anything that you're doing. You might. But how did you get there? If you're looking at your children like, man, like, they are bad as hell. How did they get that way? Because I've seen children, like, struggle with certain teachers, and then they get with other teachers, oh, man, and they take off. So how did they get that way, and what are you doing to either contribute or to break that cycle? And then think about your own life. How did you get there? And what are you doing to break the cycle? Tammy?
A couple of things before. I want to read the little article that I put out there about brokenness, but a couple of things. When you thought up about the ice versus the flowers and all of that, I thought about something Stella, my daughter-in-law, said today, and it was something so simple, but it just, I'm in this mindset of just kind of really trying to listen to people and understand, like, who they are, what makes them happy, down to the smallest things. And so I had cooked some hamburgers, and I made them really, really thick, because I thought, then if I do that, then they'll only want one a piece. They only need one a piece, right? And so
right.
They came and they ate, and so I said, well, how was the burgers? And so I was like, they were really good. And I think I said they were really, really big, huh? She said, yeah, but I like mine, like, small, thinner, but they were good. And I thought, okay, now I know. So next time for her, if I cook a thick burger, then I'm not honoring that person. I think it's okay for us to really listen to people, and because some people will hear that. Matter of fact, I was one of those people. I could hear it where you're gonna eat it like I cook it. but seriously, because I have my things that I just like what I like, and And I like for people to, if and when possible, and some things, you know, I can they whatever, take it like it comes. But there's some things that I really have my, there's a lot of things, let me not say some, that I'm just kind of iffy about. Like you would think, oh my gosh, she is so whatever. But just down to the little things like that, trying to value people. And when we can, not saying that we got to go always go overboard, but just something just that small. But there's people that like it, because Brandon, on the other hand, he loves it thick and big and will take it. There's a lot more people like that, but there's also people like Stella once would prefer that they are thin, because they were like steak size, like super, super thick. Another thing that, and so what I've been trying to do is just really try to catch myself and make sure that I'm doing with and to people what I would love for people to do for me. Hear me, understand me, see me, whatever. And I'm talking about the people in my life, the people in my circle. The other ones, I really don't care. I mean, that's just how it is. Because if you're not in my circle, if you're not in my life, putting things in my ear, getting in my head, it really just don't even. I'm not saying the people don't matter, but what they think does not matter to me. So I'm really trying to be intentional. Down to, I said something yesterday to someone that I don't think it was the wrong thing to say. It was the right thing to say, but because this person is so fragile in the sense of, and much, she's much older than I am. I could hear that what I said, they took it from that place of bondage and from a spirit of feeling not valuable or important. And so what I did, because I thought it would make it worse if I said something, I just got off the phone and I just asked God to please not let their heart receive it that way. I mean, I literally was driving in the car and I said, I really could see how they took it that way because of who they are and how they already feel about themselves. You know, how I see that they feel about themselves. So I just ask, like, God, just don't let that simmer in their heart. Take that away. And I was proud of myself because that's a new phase of trying to see people in their pain, in their place of pain. Because I don't want to add to that. If I know better, then I want to do better. If I've come a bit farther in this area, then I want that light to shine. Because there's some areas where I'm sure that person is farther along than I am. There's some areas, and I would want his light to shine on me. So that was interesting. It was really big for me yesterday to be in a mindset to say that prayer rather than bring it up and try to explain it. And I think that too, because I am that person where I think I should say it and we should talk about it and blah, blah, blah. So I was thankful that God placed on my heart to just speak her out to him, to give it over to him, to give her up to him, rather than try to explain something that probably would not have been heard from me. And so who to go to but God and ask for that to not settle. So and then about your uncle or your cousin or somebody with the drugs, you said that he said so that he will always get what he wanted for Christmas, that he would never be without on Christmas again, right?
So that, yeah. And it wasn't just specific to Christmas. Like, he was talking, like, in general, but, you know, especially for Christmas. But he was talking more so in general.
So I hear that, Rodney, and first thing that came to mind, any given moment, not just Christmas, but you will never get what you want again if you're locked up. Like, you won't get it for Christmas. You won't get it the next in the morning, in the evening, that night. All that you are doing this for could be taken away with one wrong move within those drugs. And I wonder, and of course, we do this in other areas of our lives, I'm sure. But we will hear this, like I just did, and I thought, well, do you realize that one lockup and you will not see Christmas again? Because I don't think they give Christmas presents in the jail, right? In jail, right? And you would think that someone would say, well, I'm not gonna do something that contradicts what I want. So, because like if I always want to be able to get whatever, whenever, I certainly won't be able to do that if I get caught with these drugs, because I'm going to jail, and all my money is gonna be taken away. It's kind of like hearing, I've heard young guy, someone said this, the young guys will say, well, nobody's going to tell me what to do and da-da-da-da-da, and they will, you know, be out in the streets not obeying parents or whatever, whatever. But when and if you go to jail, you're going to be told everything to do, when to wake up, when to go to bed, when to do this, when to do that. So all your freedom is snatched away. But we, in order to save ourselves in the moment, if I can preserve my feelings, my emotions, my pain, I'm willing to do that and pay the cost if I have to later, if we even think about the cost that it will cost us. So what time is it? 8:45. I'm going to briefly read this. And Rodney, I don't know if you saw this, the thing I put on about brokenness. Did you see that on my page?
I think so. Was it yesterday?
It was yesterday, 4:28. Yep, it was yesterday.
Yeah, I think so. I can't remember, though.
Okay. So it's titled Broken. I was at a Dollar Tree last night, and there was a lady and two kids behind me in the long line. One was a big kid. One was a toddler. The bigger one had a pack of glow sticks, and the baby was screaming for them. So mom opened the pack and gave him one, which stopped his tears. He walked around with it smiling. But then the bigger boy took it, and the baby started screaming again. Just as mom was about to fuss at the older child, he bent the glow sticks and handed it back to the baby. As we walked outside, at the same time, the baby noticed that the stick was now glowing, and his brother said, I had to break it so you could get the full effect from it. I almost ran because I could hear God saying to me, I had to break you to show you why I created you. You had to go through it so you could fulfill your purpose. That little baby was happy just swinging that unbroken glow stick around in the air because he didn't understand what it was created to do, which was glow. I'm going to read that part again. That little baby was happy just swinging that unbroken glow stick around in the air because he didn't understand what it was created to do, which was glow. There are some people who will be content just being, but some of us have been chosen by God to be broken. We have to get sick. We have to lose a job. We go through divorce. We have to suffer with the disease of addiction. We have to bury our spouse, parent, best friend, or our child because in those moments of desperation, breaking us, but when the breaking is done, then we will be able to see the reason for which we were created. So when you see us glowing, just know that we have been broken but healed by his grace and mercy. So when I there's so much that I got from that, Rodney. I guess, and I'm thinking about the show that I asked guys to listen to. For those of you who are listening, and you want to go back and listen to that particular show, is Finding Mr. or Mrs. Right. So that's one that most people will probably listen to, because it's about, you know, relationship and finding that right person for your life. But during this show, some things kind of were said to one of our callers that I truly disagree with how it was received and perceived. So when I think about brokenness, Rodney, how often we see people struggling through some things, and rather than see it as they are going through and in some way this may help them grow deeper, have a deeper and better relationship with God, rather than seeing it and judging them in that moment, you know, and we do that. We do. And sometimes we throw God out to people and say, well, you need to do this, like that call. Well, you need to do this, and this is what you need to do. And we need to say, are we doing that? And do we do that in the midst of our funk? You know, when we're feeling down, we're just in a blob. We're in a just got a funk going on that you cannot really explain. But it does not mean that you are not spiritually doing what you're supposed to do at that time. And so often we see people going through, or somebody's feeling this kind of way, or something is happening, then we just start to question who they are, what they're doing, and they must be this, they must be that, rather than thinking, you know what, God just may be doing a work in his or her life, purging, pruning, growing, transforming, renewing their mind. And we are a people where we have to go through some stuff to get it. You just can't tell people, hey, the building is on fire. And I'm just using that as an example. Most people today, if you tell them something or give them a piece of advice, most of them will be offended first. So offended until it is just not likely that they will even receive what you're saying. And a lot of it is due to, I heard a pastor say this, that some people they're familiar with you and your doings in your life, so that keeps them from receiving the favor on your life. So where you may be flawed in one area, they see you as flawed 100%, and they miss the favor and the grace in and upon your life in the other area, where you may be able to say, example, young people, Brandon included, would say, it's not the guys in the suits and ties, the bankers, the presidents of the companies, da-da-da, who's stopping us on the street saying, you can do this, you can do this. It's the drug dealers telling us, young blood, don't do this. You know too much. You got too much you can give. Don't do what I'm doing. And so sometimes even those that we see as far from God, like we will see the drug dealer and think he is not capable of telling the young blood, hey, stay in school. Don't do what I did. You would think that the guy in the tie and the suit would be the one saying it. Young people will say, no, not them all the time. In fact, it's more of the people that's on the street that we see as not important, that we see as God doesn't have his hands on him because he's the dope dealer on the corner. But what happens when the dope dealer turns straight, meaning he comes in? What happens? who are the people there to say, do they remember God brought you in, or do they remember you were out on the corner? And I just see brokenness in another light. And taking it back to scripture, especially since we're all going to experience it or have experienced it from time to time, I see it as a possibility for restoration, and just another form of spiritual healing if we would allow it, if we would allow it. And I'm not talking about the people that's going through it. I'm talking about the people that's watching people go through it. Rodney, before I turn it back over to you, this just came to mind. There is one of my Facebook friends lost his grandson. His daughter and his grandson was in an accident, and the grandson, the grandson did not make it. And five years old. Wow. And the daughter, and it was his first grand. He and his wife's first grand. The daughter made it, but for a little while. And I had gotten on Facebook, and I did not know daughter had passed. I knew that the grandson had, and the daughter was in the hospital. And in between the daughter dying after the accident, his family was on Facebook asking for help. They were just asking people to help with, and at this time, his daughter had not passed. So, and how I found out was I saw the post that confused me, because I thought, well, your daughter's alive. But the post that he was explaining that it was not his intent to take money. He was trying. Someone somewhere had said something about him asking for money, for asking for help. And I thought, how insensitive are people today? Because I think for a man to have experienced that kind of loss and have the ability to put his pride aside and ask for help, and for a people to demean him for asking for help.
Mm-hmm.
Finance. And what his daughter died the day after that post.
Oh, wow.
The day after he had to come back and explain, my people, I was not trying to, I just was asking for help. And I could only imagine what he must have felt that day, and then for his daughter to leave this world the very next day. And how insensitive we are, and how we label people, and how we judge people. And sometimes, most times, we do not know the full story. You don't even know the story, because you're not there. And you don't know what's going on, and you don't know what... I can only imagine what it must have taken to ask for the help in the midst of the pain. And so I just figured, where did all that come from? Like, who is the person that that got it all started? And how many more people signed on, saw it, and thought the same thing, but maybe somehow didn't say anything? And so I want to just end here for me. Don't think that your brokenness for the people is any better from someone else's brokenness. Because if you want God to have grace, mercy, and favor on you, because the Bible said we are all but filthy rags, full of sin, and that there's not a day that goes by that we don't sin. So who are we to judge someone else's brokenness and try to dim their light, all of their light, because of the brokenness? And we may not know that my brokenness may be glory. My story, my brokenness may bring glory to someone else's story. It may be a savior, a shining light in somebody's life, because most people want to hear from people who have gone through what they're going through. That's when they say, you just really may understand. If you haven't lost a child and you're trying to tell somebody that has lost theirs that you understand, while you may understand, there's a different understanding when you have gone through it. So for those who are in the middle of brokenness, and I think we're all always in the middle of being broken in something, don't count your brokenness as a testimony for who you are, or feel any less than the person that you look upon and think that they are not broken, that they have never been broken. You are highly mistaken, because there's no one walking this earth that has not experienced some kind of brokenness and that will experience it again. So don't get all caught up in what you see, because I believe half of what we see is wrong. And we see it wrong, we interpret it wrong, we think, we start comparing our lives to others, and that's where we fall in the mist. So, Rodney, I'll turn it over to you and let you do say what you do.
Tammy, I think that there are people who, and I don't know if this is the point that you were trying to hit on, but there are people who are one-uppers, and nobody has had it worse than them. Nobody has had it greater than them. It doesn't matter if you're trying to tell a – it doesn't matter if you're trying to talk about your success or an accomplishment or a tragedy. There are people who, if you say, well, I stomped my toe on the dresser, they come back with, oh, man, you know, I was walking past my dresser one time and the cable box fell off the dresser. You know, they got to come up with something that's worse than what you said. Oh, I got in an accident. And then they got to tell you about how they got in the accident and broke all these bones and still survived. Like, they never let people have a moment. They never let people have a testimony. They never let people share how they went through something and how they made it out. It's always, well, look at me, everybody. And then what I've seen a lot of church people do is they have become so spiritual that they can't function on earth anymore. Like, they are just lost in the spiritual realm, and they can't function. Because they're always trying to be deep, always trying to act as if God brought them down himself. He didn't, like, they didn't come through a woman like the rest of us. They act like God himself brought them down, and they are here for everybody. When we listen to that show, Tammy, that you suggested from, I think it was probably around 2012, that you had did, it was amazing how, like when the caller said she was confused, I was like, I can really see why. And then Tamaria and I talked about how, because of something that she said, it turned into a coaching session.
And your spiritual life is not together, right?
Right. Like, it turned into a coaching session. And it's like, I'd never heard the young lady ask to be coached. It was simply like what I heard, and Tamari can share her thoughts, but what I heard was, okay, I was drawn to this show because of this topic. I wanted to call in and, you know, offer my two cents. And it turned into, well, why are you this? Well, why are you that? What? Why do you say this? And you could be doing this, and you could be doing that. And it's like, wait a minute. That ain't what the young lady said. Like, she didn't say, I am this way, or my life is this way. Like, do you guys have any suggestions? Or what do you guys think I could be doing differently? Like, I didn't hear that. And so it sounded like the young lady was getting frustrated because it sounded like she was just trying to, you know, join the conversation, like we always say. And then it turned into like, wait a minute, I didn't ask for all this. And so I think we have to be mindful and we have to be careful. My friend Christine, I don't know if she got on tonight. I'm guessing that she didn't, because normally, she'll mess with me the entire time. But my friend Christine, she used to always tell myself and the other administrators, like, I don't want to be coached. Like, you know, when she's like, you know, when I come to you guys, like, you know, just tell me the answer, or just tell me what needs to be done, or if it's something for you guys to handle, like, can you just handle it? Like, I don't need a full out coaching session. And it's like, that's good feedback, because sometimes we turn people off because what they are seeking, we don't give it to them. Because in our mind, well, I heard you say this, so that means you want this, but that's not what the person said. Oh, but that may be how we know to respond. So it's important for us to be reflective. It's important for us to listen to comprehend rather than listen to get out what I want to say. Because sometimes, like, something will hit us, and we're like, oh, man, this is profound. And we want to just keep sharing it with people. And people are like, that is not what I came to you for. Or that was not what I was seeking. And then we get offended when they don't want to come to us anymore. And they say, well, wait a minute. Why would they come to you if every time they come to you, they feel judged? Or they feel like they're being coached? Or they feel like you think that you are superior to them. Conversations should be welcoming. Conversations should benefit both people. Because sometimes you're having a conversation with somebody because they came to you seeking advice or seeking an answer, and you might say something that helps yourself in addition to helping them. So we shouldn't go into any discussion with a narrow mind, or go into any discussion thinking there's nothing that I can get out of this because I'm the teacher, you're the student. No, because even the teacher should be a lifelong learner, because how are you going to teach me to learn when you don't even know how to learn? How are you going to teach me to accept feedback when you don't know how to accept feedback? You can't teach me to be humble, and you're cocky and prideful. You can't teach me that. Because the moment I figure out this is how you are, I'm going to say, why am I coming to them? They're no better than I am. And I understand that, you know, we all have our flaws and we all have our shortcomings. But people can accept your flaws and shortcomings more, I think, when you're honest about them and when you're humble about them. You know, there are people who will, like, they cannot admit when they're wrong. And we all know those people very well, because here's what they do. They do something, they make a mistake, and they talk about why they made the mistake more than just simply apologizing. They'll go on and on and on and on about why they made the mistake, but they'll never say, I was wrong or I'm sorry. Because when you're wrong, why do we need to have a 2-hour conversation about why you're wrong and you're leading the conversation? No. People can accept you more when you say, you know what? I did this. It was wrong. And either leave it at that, or it was wrong, I'm sorry, leave it at that. Or it was wrong, I'm sorry, here's what I plan to do to fix it, or to make sure that I don't do it again. But when you make a mistake and you say, well, I don't know, I lied, but here's why I lied. And like, this is, and this is you, and you're spending all this time trying to justify it rather than admitting that you did it and that you're sorry about it. It makes it difficult for people to look at you and say, okay, like, this is a leader. It makes it difficult. You know, and so we know those people very well, because you know those people also do. When the light is not on them, when you don't have anything specific at that moment that they've done wrong, you know what those people do, Tammy? They will say, I know I'm not perfect. Really? Because in every other situation, you act like you are. But because you didn't make a mistake 5 minutes ago, and we don't have anything like recent to talk about, now you're, well, I know I'm not perfect. That's not admitting that you're wrong about anything. That's a scapegoat. That's a backup plan. You're not humbling yourself. Somebody told you that was the right thing to say. Ooh, nobody's perfect. Duh. We don't need to hear that. What we need to hear is, you know what? Okay. I yelled at whoever. You know what? I should have never talked to them like that. I should have never raised my voice at them. And then you go back and you apologize. Hey, listen. It doesn't matter why I yelled. The point is, I yelled, and I recognized that I should have never raised my voice at you, and I'm sorry. And I will try not to do that again. Boom, move on. But when you're selfish, when it's all about you, and you want to see you want people to see you as perfect and mighty and on top of the world, it's hard to do that. But that's my advice to people. tonight who are listening live or whether they'll listen at a later date and time. I'm going to go back to what I said in the very beginning about being entitled. Learn to adjust, to change before the change adjusts you against your own will. Tammy, any announcements?
Not yet. I will.
Okay.
I will. You know, Rodney, I was thinking about how, and I think I might be the only person in the world who ever did this, but you know how I've talked about when I used to be at whatever place in my life where, you know, if someone sends you an email, especially with work, and that you've missed it, like you just simply missed it and it's there. And rather than saying, I missed it, oh, I didn't get it. And now, of course, I'm on the other side of it and have been for a while. But I often wonder what did I benefit from that at that time? What was I saving myself from? What did that do to me for me to think that it's easier and better to say? Because now that creates a whole another dilemma, basically, in a sense, or it could, rather than just saying, oh, I'm sorry, I do see it here, I missed it. Like, what harm? What was I running from? I often think about that, especially when I miss an email, you know, because it happens. It's easy for me to say, oh, yeah, there it is. So, you know, kind of that thing, you know, what makes us do that? What makes us think that's saving us in some way? And what is it saving us from? Because it's lying. It was really lying. And who knows, the person gets off the other line, they may try to figure out, well, why did they may spend, you know, time trying to figure out, did they really send it? Why didn't it go? When we simply just say, yeah, I'm sorry, there it is, I missed it. So that what you were saying made me think about that.
Gotcha. Well, Tammy, this discussion tonight has been very insightful. Tamari, did you want to share your thoughts about the show, that we listened to?
Oh.
Oh.
No, I wasn't.
Hold on.
I got a message from someone asking me for something that pertaining to our business stuff, and I wanted to respond. So I was trying to work on something. So I walked away for a second. So I wasn't prepared to respond at that
moment. Oh, you're fine.
But pretty much what he said, it made me think about sometimes where it's funny because people who are helpful, because I am that personality type, as Tammy knows, in my mind, like when I was listening to everyone trying to give the caller, Melinda, advice, I thought to myself, you know what? I have probably done this to people and not even realized, because in my trying to help, sometimes it may come across like, oh, this person's not listening or whatever else, but I thought about it. Everyone was trying to give her advice, but she didn't actually say what she wanted to happen next. And so I was like, huh, that was a real eye-opener, because maybe the better question would be, so what do you expect from this conversation? Or what do you what do you want us to tell you? But everyone immediately jumped to giving her advice. But I think, even though it's well-intentioned, a lot of people, especially people who might be helpful by nature, will tend to do that, whether we try to do it or not. And I think the post that I sent you and Rodney, Tammy, is so true, but I think it goes beyond this, which is the post said, never mock a pain you haven't endured, because when life hits you, you might become everything you ever criticized. But I feel like most people, if they're honest with themselves, they can see the speck in somebody else's eye, but not the plank in their own. And the Bible tells us about that. Because granted, we all have been there, but a lot of people don't want to be honest with themselves either. So even for myself, I've been learning over the past year, like I'm seeing things in myself, but that doesn't mean I have to accept any and everything people want to give or put on me either. So I have to acknowledge which things are really my responsibility and which things other people are reflecting on me. So, for instance, if I think about a lot of situations I've dealt with at work, people can say whatever they want to say to me, and they want me to just deal with it, accept it. But then if I were to say something back in response to what they say or how they say it or if they raise their voice, whatever, then all of a sudden I'm difficult or I'm angry or I'm frustrated or whatever label they want to give me or adjective, but they don't think about cause and effect. And so when the caller called in, and also when I think about the quote that I sent you a writing throughout the during the show, it's true. People want to focus on the effect and the reaction, not the cause. And then also people want to judge other people because of what they don't understand or what they haven't experienced. And so it's kind of like COVID. People who haven't had COVID probably feel a different type of way than people who either have lost people to COVID or who have had it themselves. And people will judge other folks based on that, but it's like, wait a minute, now the shoe is on the other foot. How does it feel? Or in certain circumstances, I think a lot of us will handle things a different way. So in some circumstances, we give people more grace. Other circumstances, we don't. But it takes a concerted effort to really take a look at yourself. And I think that's some of the things that you guys have talked about, because ultimately I feel like it's easy to point fingers, to place blame, but unless we're able to look at ourselves, and like the caller said that night, she was like, my spiritual life is fine, but everyone wanted to help her with her spiritual life, and she didn't even say she needed help. And then someone who's helpful, I'm like, I probably have done that to people a lot of times because in my mind, they must be asking me for help. But really, they might not want help. But I don't know because I didn't ask them. So I think that, like, hearing that was really helpful for me because I was like, maybe going forward I should ask people, like, what do you want me to do? Like, do you want me to just listen and not say anything? But then if you don't say anything, then you might deal with the flip side. It's like that donkey picture that you shared with me, Tammy, during my assessment session with you, where literally it's a donkey. And no matter what you do, depending on the person's perspective in that moment, they might either agree or disagree. And a lot of times they're going to always have something to say. So in the picture Tammy shared and said, this is our society, there were two people on the donkey and two people looking at the people on the donkey. The first conversation was two people on a donkey's back for animals. The second conversation was, how cool is he by letting his wife walk? Because now the husband's on the donkey, the wife is walking. Third picture, how stupid he is by letting his wife take the ride alone. This time, the wife is on the donkey, the husband is walking. The last one, neither one of them are on the donkey. The people looking on, fools, don't even know how to utilize the donkey. So what I'm realizing with life, with everything, people are going to always have something to say. And even if you solicit advice or not, I tend to get a lot of unsolicited advice just because of my personality. I feel like people are used to me not saying anything, so they feel like, I can dump on this person or I can treat her however. And she's not going to say anything. So then when I do say something, they're shocked. But now I'm like, you know what? Regardless, people are going to always have something to say, like the donkey meme. This is our society. It's so true. If, like right now, for instance, with Nadia being at my aunt's house, people have something to say about, like, where's your daughter? Well, my aunt's watching my daughter. But if we were to put our daughter in daycare and she catches COVID or gets sick, why didn't you leave her at your aunt's house? Everything was fine there. And it could be the same people who question why she's not at home. So it's literally like you can't win for losing, and it depends on the day when people say something. But what those people don't know is last year this time, we had to take our daughter to the hospital because she had trouble breathing. So, no, I'm not putting her in daycare, and I don't care what anyone thinks. And so it's things like that where now I'm starting to realize that everyone has an opinion about whatever it is. And two, we have to be willing to either be like, okay, whatever, or if we accept those opinions, be able to handle it however we see fit. Because I am the person who has traditionally, someone's like, Melinda, I might share with people, but then the difference is I probably wouldn't have hung up, but I understand why she did. I actually can take a cue from her. There's a lot of situations in my life where if I realize it's not going anywhere, then I need to hang up on the situation. I need to hang it up, meaning there's no point going over the same situation over and over and be okay with that. Or if people give me advice and I don't want it, just say okay, and then in the back of my mind, dismiss it. Like, okay, they have their opinion, I have mine. Do I have to necessarily follow it? No. The same way they may not listen to me. So in that case, it's a win-win. Neither one of us are upset, and who cares? So I am growing, and Tammy probably can attest to that from seeing my assessment, but I really am trying to work on my own boundaries and then also not letting people put things on me that are not my responsibility. Things that are my responsibility, I'm working on, you know, changing those things, but things that aren't, I'm not taking it on anymore. People make decisions because they choose to make decisions, and throughout my life, I have allowed other people to dictate to me how I should feel about my decisions and also their decisions, or I've allowed them to project on me their own decisions or hurts or whatever else, and I've taken that on. So my goal for the rest of this year and going forward is I'm not taking that stuff on. If you drop it off, you can pick it up, because I'm tired of picking up other people's stuff. Because I don't have any more room. So I learned to teach from Melinda. I learned to disconnect when you need to disconnect. And I also learned that not everyone wants advice, but you have to find out if that's really what they want.
Good stuff.
So I wasn't planning on saying all that, but I was like, okay, let me prepare myself. But I know it's one of those things that we had talked about, and then I know, Tammy, I had mentioned some of it to you. I know we didn't get to finish the conversation, but I think the show was really good overall, a lot of really good points, but everyone was coming from their own place of experience, and you can't discount someone's experience because it's not yours, and that's why I sent both you and Rodney that quote, because people may mock other people's pain or lack thereof. People may mock, and by mock, not necessarily like, ha, 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 look at you, but because they don't understand it, they may discount or discredit how someone else may feel. And so I'm learning everyone has different experiences that they bring into situations, and unless you take a step back and realize that everyone comes from a different place, we can't really be judging people on the same stuff that we do. And so I had the podcast on Sunday, and it was called Double Standards. This is exactly what I was talking about the entire show, is that literally the same action done by us, we may look at it different. So the police officers want to make it home at night. Well, so do the people that they shoot. So we say all lives matter, but do they really? Because it only matters when it's not our life or our family's life. Because people will justify why certain people deserve to die. So in that case, you can't tell me you believe all lives matter because you're trying to justify why this person should be dead and this person is still alive. So it's a lot of things that I've been thinking about lately, and double standards do not diminish the reality of the truth.
Amen. The only thing I will add, and I'll do it briefly, is that I noticed that Melinda and our caller, and I wish I would have played the segment of that part, but she said, spiritually, I'm fine. That's not what I'm saying. And she said that several times, but everybody kept coming back to her with spiritual solutions as if she was bored because she wasn't doing enough spiritually. And so that's kind of what I got out of it. So I think we also have to listen to people rather than, you know, get so caught up and make sure that we, and that's for me, like I'm trying to make sure that I am doing what I'm saying and that I'm learning or know what I'm teaching. And so, because if I feel like it will work for them, then I should feel like it, that it would work for me. And I want to be, I feel like I know better now and I want to continue to know better. And that takes work, time, me really knowing that I still have my own issues, and so do other people. Others have those issues as well. So if I figure that I need time, space to grow, then I should understand that they come from a place of pain and that they may need time, space to grow. And I say I want to do that without judgment, but still with as much help as possible. And that means knowing when I can help, when I can't, when they want it, when they don't, and that I'm capable of giving it. And like you said to Mary, I don't even want people to drop stuff off that they're not ready to pick up. I don't want it. Like, if you come into me with this, then let's find a solution or at least get a sight of a solution to come. So, good stuff.
Yeah, I think that you all
have a
good conversation, really insightful, good points, takeaways.
We appreciate it. Let me try.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you for your insight, Tamaria. I thought that was really good, and I thought it was helpful. And it made me think about some other things. So thank you for that. I don't know if we'll be on next Tuesday or not, but to everyone who is listening, hopefully you were able to make it past the hiccups that we were having in the beginning. I don't know what was going on with Blog Talk, Tammy, but I'm glad that it eventually worked out and we were able to do the show.
Mm-hmm.
If you joined us late, please, please, please feel free to go back and listen to the beginning of the show and listen to the show in its entirety. I know that next week is a holiday, so if we don't,
we won't.
You say, Tammy?
We will not be on. I don't plan on being on. I don't know what about you, but I don't plan on being on. I'm going to take that time next week to do some other things that I need to do, and so we will not be on next week unless Rodney Jordan comes up with something and he gets on by himself.
No, I can assure you I won't come up with anything. I'm going to take the time and relax and spend that time with Tamaria and Nadia, and if we decide to go and visit family, we'll definitely see them. If not, I'm sure we'll see them virtually and talk to them on Duo or Zoom or something. So we'll see them whether it's virtually or in person. But no, we're gonna take that time to relax. Our last day of school is Tuesday, and then we're off until the following Monday. So I'm going to take advantage of those days. So you guys be safe. Be healthy. I don't know about Tennessee, Tammy, and some of our other listening areas, but they're starting to roll back some of the restrictions and limitations as far as restaurants and gatherings and things like that. So you guys continue to be healthy, continue to be safe, make good decisions. And if you don't make good decisions, at least make decisions that you can live with. Until next time, be blessed. Good night, everybody.
Beyond the sky, it's been a long